The following is a Christians for Messiah Ministries production. Our mandate is to teach God's Word, train God's people, and release God's favor. We now invite you to listen to a powerful message by Dr. Peter Wins as he speaks on the book of Revelation. This is part of a 32-message series called Unexpected Fire. For further study, we encourage you to purchase the book Unexpected Fire by Dr. Peter Wins.
This is study number 26 in our Revelation series. This message is called Identifying the Great Prostitute. We're going to read for this study Revelation chapter 17, verses 1 to 8, and also Revelation 17, verses 15 to 18. First of all, Revelation chapter 17, starting at verse 1. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the punishment of the great prostitute who sits on many waters. With her the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated with the wine of her adulteries." Then the angel carried me away in the spirit into a desert. There I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast that was covered with blasphemous names and had seven heads and 10 horns. The woman was dressed in purple and scarlet and was glittering with gold, precious stones, and pearls. She held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. This title was written on her forehead: Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of prostitutes and of the abominations of the earth. I saw that the woman was drunk with the blood of the saints, the blood of those who bore the testimony to Jesus. When I saw her, I was greatly astonished. Then the angel said to me, "Why are you astonished? I will explain to you the mystery of the woman and of the beast she rides, which has the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast which you saw once was, now is not, and will come up out of the abyss and go to his destruction. The inhabitants of the earth, whose names have not been written in the book of life from the creation of the world, will be astonished when they see the beast, because he once was, now is not, and yet will come." And then let's look down to verse 15. Then the angel said to me, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are peoples, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute. They will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to accomplish this purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is the great city that rules over the kings of the earth." Revelation 17 is about the great prostitute. She will have spiritual power over the whole earth. The scripture says in verse 3 of chapter 18, "The merchants of the earth grow rich from her excessive luxuries. Every nation, people, group, and language will be under her influence and control. She will sit on all nations and communities." That's what it says in verse 15. "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nations, and languages." She will control every nation in the world with the exception of Israel. She will do this through the power of seduction and lust. It says all the nations, this is verse 3 of chapter 18, says all the nations have drunk the maddening wine of her adulteries. And we just read in Revelation 17, verse 2, with her, the kings of the earth committed adultery, and the inhabitants of the earth were intoxicated. They were drunk with the wine of her adulteries. The activity of the metaphorical prostitute is that of a temptress who leads the entire world into great abominations and sins. It says in chapter 17, verse 5, she held a golden cup in her hand filled with abominable things and the filth of her adulteries. She has actually been around from the very beginning. But it is now at the second half of the tribulation period that she plays a very vital role. And she will be the first of all of the demon generals to be destroyed by the Lord. We read in Revelation 18, verse 5, "Come out from her, my people, so that you will not share in her sins. For her sins have piled up to heaven, and God has remembered her crimes for thousands of years." This great whore, this mother of prostitutes, has been seducing humanity. The great prostitute is sexually perverse, greedy, arrogant, proud, shameless, and she drives humanity into the same sins that make up her character. Revelation 18, 2-3 says, "Babylon the Great," that is one of her names, "has become a home for demons and a haunt for every evil spirit." The great prostitute is a ruling spirit who dominates hordes of lesser demons, or detestable birds as they are called. She commands a massive army that uses the power of seduction and lust in every community, in every country. She organizes and leads multitudes of lusty demons. She's like a Jezebel who seduced Ahab and the people of Israel. The great prostitute's home is filled with the servants of Satan. Around her table are the demon lords of Baal and Ashtaroth, which we read about in 1 Kings chapter 16 and chapter 18. Her home is the kingdom of darkness, and it's filled with every demonic bird. The great prostitute is called the mother of seducing spirits. She is the mother of harlots, the mother of abominations. In other words, her children are demons of prostitution, demons of pornography, demons of perversion, spirits, evil spirits of abominations. They are greedy murderers and those who love to shed innocent blood. These demons go into the nations to deceive men and women. They promise pleasure in its highest form, but they bring destruction, abomination, and absolute ruin. This is the ruling spirit of lust in the world. Her identity is all but given. She's the great prostitute. She's the ruling spirit of lust in the world. Lust seems to be too simple an answer. We naturally look for some secret society, some political system like the Illuminati or the World Monetary Fund, maybe the Islamic religion or the ecumenical church. Some have said it is communism or capitalism, and others say it is the Catholic Church. But I don't think any of those fit the picture. For when we look at the prostitute's description and the scope of her reign, we realize that she has the ability to dominate all groups of people in every nation, in every religious group. She affects grassroots humanity not just in one part of the world where there might be communism, or another part of the world where there might be capitalism, or another part of the world where there might be the Catholic Church in great numbers. But none of those things have a rule over all the earth. But she does. She, it seems, has an ability to get into every community. She is a ruling spirit. She is lust incarnate. Now, lust is the driving and controlling desire that pushes to cause people to want to satisfy their inner urges. Its seductions are so strong that people yield to them, even when they know it will bring them harm, even when they know it will bring harm to their families and their communities. This spirit is so powerful, and it has been there through every age. This spirit of lust has been there. Feeding on ungodly passions is like taking drugs. Somebody who is involved like a lust addict, it's like taking drugs. The more people indulge in these perversions, the more they crave them. Soon they are controlled by their own desires. Like a drug addict, lust addicts are drawn to stronger doses and more powerful fixes. Before long, they are hooked, and they are beyond the point of easy return. They are slaves to lust, and demons of lust will come and enter them. Demons live inside of people, and they are skillful with their seduction and their mind control. They work with the emotions of one person to arouse and tempt another, or to control another. Lust is a hideous deception. It starts with pleasure, but quickly goes down a slippery slope. It can produce disease, corruption, entrapment. This temptation will lead to ruin. James chapter 1, verse 14 says, "Everyone is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed." It says there that temptation has two different parts. Lustful temptations have two parts. The first part is the drawing away. Everyone is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires. And then secondly, he is enticed. The drawing away comes from the desires that are inside of man's heart. And I like what the scripture says about Jesus. Jesus himself actually said, "The prince of this world is coming after me, but he will find nothing in me." And when the prince of this world comes after you, the question is, will he find something in you? If there is emotions and desires that you have not yielded to Christ, that is where Satan will come looking. He will tempt you in the area of your weakness. Some people, it might be eating. Other people, it's sexual activity. Other people, it's greed. Other people, it's some other form of lust. The Bible gives a big teaching on this subject of lust. It tells us that there are three kinds of lust in the world. There is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the lust which is the pride of life. We read about it in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15 to 17. This is what we read. "Do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world," and then he gives these three lusts: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, "is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lusts of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever." Now let's look at these three lusts, because all sin is under one of these three titles. The first is the lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh is the controlling desire to satisfy the cravings of the body. This includes, among other things, sexual perversions, adultery, laziness, gluttony, and drunkenness. The lust of the flesh is the desire to satisfy the cravings of the body. The lust of the eyes is the controlling desire to have things. The Bible calls it covetousness. It includes the uncontrollable lust to have materialistic things. The Bible says that the love of money or the lust for money is the root of evil. People who are greedy for things and have this lust for money might even kill somebody for it. They don't care if somebody else must suffer if they can only gain. It's not wrong to make money and to use money. Money is not evil. But when we have a lust for materialism, it is a demonic passion that can take us into ruin and ruin the people around us. And then there is the lustful pride of life. And that's the controlling desire to be seen as a great person. It's a pride. And it's a passion to be worshipped, to have people elevate us and idolize us. People will do almost anything to become celebrities these days. As I speak to you in this message, one of the most popular shows on TV is American Idol. And more viewers voted for who should be the best American Idol than voted for the last president of the United States of America. This nation and the world is totally caught up in the idolizing and the deifying almost of their celebrities. But all of these three things, the lust of the flesh, which includes sexual perversion, the lust of the eyes, which includes strong materialism, and the lust or the prideful lust of life is the desire to be exalted. These lusts are what this woman, this mother of prostitution, it's what she promotes. The Bible teaches us in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, that the corruption is in the world because of people's lust. If we want to know why is there corruption in the world, why is there people starving in countries, why are children being abused, why is there criminal activity, the Bible gives one answer. It says because of lusts. And there is a demon spirit that has been assigned to stir the world up, to entice the world with these lusts. She is called the Queen of Babylon. It is clear to see that this mother of abominations, this mother of prostitution, is the spirit of lust, the controlling spirit of lust. She has command over all of the lust-driving demons that are in the world today. She's the source. She's the mother of lust and immorality on the planet. She puts a lust time bomb in everyone she can, and her demons come and light the fuse. The great prostitute drives people to lust for money, sexual perversion, and self-exaltation. We recall that John wrote, "The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nations, and languages. Her wickedness is so vile that she will be the first one to be judged, even before the beast and the false prophet." Why? Because she has sat for centuries on the waters. Remember I told you that the sea of glass in heaven was a picture of the people of God? Well, now here is an evil sea. She sits on a different sea, not the sea that is in heaven, but she sits on a sea. The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nations, and languages. Now, the beast John saw had seven heads and 10 horns. Do you remember that? And he said that this beast is the Antichrist. This beast is Apollyon. This beast has the responsibility for humanism on the earth. Well, this spirit of lust, the Bible says, she rides humanism. She rides the beast who has the heads and the horns. And she boasts, it says in Revelation 18:7, in her heart she boasts, I sit as queen. In the demonic realm, these evil spirits step on each other any opportunity they can. They love to be over their team players. It's not like in the Christian world, in a nice church where everybody wants to work together. They only work together because they have to work together. And demons will dominate, control, and ride each other. It's their nature to be abusive. Instead of co-laboring and walking in unity or being a support to each other, they gain advantage and make those around them be subservient. Demons get very excited when they are given control and can push all their fellow demons down. So Revelation 17, verse 9 and 10 says, the seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. They are also seven kings. This beast, you wouldn't think that she is going to ride the Antichrist. But that's what the scripture says. And I have come to understand why. The beast needs this great prostitute. He's the ruling spirit of humanism. He has the 10 horns, which are the demon kings who rule over the areas of the globe. He also has the seven heads, which are the demon kings who rule over society. And they will infiltrate the political structures around the world. The great prostitute rides this beast and sits like a hen on the nest. She sits like a queen over these seven kings. See, humanism and witchcraft have got the whole world worshiping them. However, they are not strong enough to sustain this leadership position. And they need the power of sexual perversion and lust. Because intellectualism and entertainment will not control people forever. But lust is an ongoing power. And to gain full control of mankind, the Antichrist, the beast, will need this all-powerful spirit of lust, this harlot of harlots, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the lust of money. She has all of those things, and this spirit of humanism needs it. Those forces are stronger than humanism and witchcraft combined. So he needs lust. So he implores her services. But she says, I will only agree to partner with the beast if I can be in control. So she has the upper hand. The planet is already intoxicated with the wine of the great prostitute's adulteries. The maddening trend will grow much worse. And at this point in the Great Tribulation, she is drunk with the blood of the saints and the blood of those who bore testimony to Jesus. But the other demons hate her because she is so proud and so haughty that she has to be in control. And she puts them down underneath and she rides them and pushes them around and they hate her. What does the scripture say? It says that she is going to be punished. If we look at this last verse that we read in Revelation 17, it says in verse 15, "Then the angel said to me, 'The waters you saw where the prostitute sits are people, multitudes, nations, and languages. The beast and the 10 horns you saw will hate the prostitute, and they will bring her to ruin and leave her naked. They will eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it in their hearts to accomplish this purpose by agreeing to give the beast their power to rule until God's words are fulfilled. The woman you saw is that great city, and she rules over the kings of the earth.'" The key to this switch around where the beast turns on her along with the 10 kings and they kill her and they burn her flesh and then they commit cannibalism and eat her. She's the first one to be judged. God set it up. It's because they don't need her anymore. If you look at verse 9 in this scripture, it says, "This calls for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. They are also seven kings. Five have fallen, one is, and the other has not yet come. But when he comes, he must remain for a little while." Now, there are seven hills or heads. I mentioned them to you the other day. They rule over the media, the political, the educational, the medical, the judicial, the military, and the religious systems of the world. But we have just seen the seven plagues poured out upon the earth, and everybody is dying. There's no more schools for education. There's no more hospitals for the medical system. The religious system's completely gone out of the world. There's no more televisions to watch. The media and entertainment system is ruined. All five systems have completely been destroyed. There are only two systems that remain, and one is just about to come into its power. Those two systems are the political system of the world and the end time new military system that will march on Jerusalem. All the other systems in society, the infrastructure has been decimated. Because of this, there's a different tactic now that the beast will use. He doesn't need lust. He is just going to rule the world like a dictator. He and his workers will rule the world. They don't have to entice or be politically correct because everybody's just in survival mode. And they're not interested in perversions anymore. They're not interested in making money anymore. There's no businesses anymore. They're not interested in being the American idol. They're just interested in getting to the next day. And so they don't need this spirit of lust. And she has been so haughty. And when these judgments come and her influence is not needed anymore, the beast and his ruler kings will turn on this mother of harlots, this spirit of lust, and they will take her and ruin her. They will strip her naked. They will burn her at the stake, and they will eat her flesh like cannibals. And the Lord says he will allow it to happen because she has ruined families and children and men and women for thousands and thousands of years. And she will be the first one who will come under judgment at the end of the great tribulation period. It has begun. The judgments have fallen. It will be like dominoes now. One after the other of the enemies of God will fall.
If after hearing this message you would like prayer or further information about our ministry, email Dr. Peter Wins at winsusa@comporium.net.
That's WYNSUSA@comporium.net. For additional teaching and other CMM resources, visit our websites at peterwinds.org or unexpectedfire.com. Your financial contributions help this ministry continue. Your support is greatly appreciated. For tax receipts, send donations to Christians for Messiah Ministries, P.O. Box 36324, Rock Hill, South Carolina, 29732. We hope that you have enjoyed this powerful teaching by Dr. Peter Wins. We trust that it has taught you in the ways of the Lord, that it has helped to train you to be a better disciple, and that because of this teaching, you will receive more of God's blessings and favor on your life. From all of us here at CMM to all of you who are listening, we extend God's richest blessings.